capitalism may be one of the most polarizing topics of our age, dividing the masses like a deep enigma. It flabbergasts even those that are deeply entwined in it. Everything from the dot-com burst to the Great Depression and the 2009 financial crisis have rattled the participants of this economic system and made them question its purpose and effectiveness. They often ask, "Is this the best we can do?" Yet there are those that continue to ask this question even during the best booms in economic prosperity. They critique this system for its inequality, for the effect it has on the environment, for its ignorance of social issues, and the eternal so-called class conflict, as penned by Marx. Oftentimes, this criticism falls on deaf ears, the proponents of the system largely unwilling to make change. Because in the end, who really likes to leave cozy conformity? They may ask, why fix something that isn't really broken? However, over the past decade, we've seen surging companies and leaders that wish to put a conscious stake on capitalism, one that doesn't follow Zuckerberg's infamous motto of moving fast and breaking things, but also stops to smell the metaphorical roses, to care for the environment, our issues, and ultimately, people. In any company's endeavor to gain consumer approval, they've put in a great lot of effort into their public image and their advertising campaigns in particular. As an entrepreneur, you can't just sell coffee. If you want real success, the latte you vend must be sold as a beverage containing fair trade coffee beans with the image of a smiling farmer. The milk needs to be locally sourced and come in a dairy-free option too. You spend $1 million on the ad campaign? Double it and donate half to dog NGOs. What do stray mutts have to do with cappuccinos, you might ask? Good question. Now might be a good time to consider changing careers. In a fast-moving market, with shareholders increasingly enamored with environmental and social governance, it's important for companies to invest in major political issues and more. Some have had more success than others when trying their luck on this promotional flywheel from hell. One of the most infamous cases belongs to one of the greatest so-called underdogs of all time, Pepsi. Pepsi has had its fair share of attention-seeking advertisements, being backed by titans such as the King of Pop himself, Michael Jackson, and the more recent Queen Bee, Beyoncé, among others such as Madonna and even the Spice Girls. It was in 2017 that the brand endeavored to speak out about the Black Lives Matter movement and take a stand for the oppressed. Obviously, their first move was to hire a white millionaire model to be the face of the campaign. Now, in hindsight, this may look like a bad move, but for some reason, it made clear sense to the marketing executives of Pepsi Cola at the time to employ Kendall Jenner for the role. The advertisement itself was simple, and while it lasted only a few minutes, it felt much, much longer. The scene is set as such. A wave of protesters calmly and blissfully graze through a cosmopolitan street, all the while Kendall dons a wig and makeup for a shoot happening merely two steps away. She takes notice of the people passing her by with signs that allude to all the hippie-like jargon of peace and love as she sultrily poses against a mahogany doorframe. In between, we get glimpses of two others, a musician and a photographer, both people of color, making their own way to the protest. Once beckoned into the crowd by the musician, Kendall throws away her wig, wipes off her garish lipstick, and does a magical outfit change to waltz her way into the crowd. Suddenly, she's transformed into a champion of the people now that she wears light-washed jeans rather than a short designer dress. The model then admires the surrounding crowd as she grabs a can of Pepsi to approach one of the police officers that line the crowd. A moment of silence passes as the crowd dies down, awaiting the response. The officer then grabs the can of Pepsi, takes a swig, and gives a reassuring smile of approval to Kendall, his fellow colleagues, and the awaiting crowd, that then bursts into cheer. That marks the end of the advertisement that took the world by storm, but not in the way that Pepsi had intended. What was wrong with this advertisement was Pepsi's narrative focus. From the very first clip, where we see a Pepsi can being opened, everything is about the product itself. The posters that hold no real meaning, as Pepsi skirts from real conflict, are in colors of blue and red, Each focus point has a Pepsi can or logo somewhere in the shot. And in the end, with that odd offering to the officer, Pepsi is eventually painted as a solution rather than a supporter. The advertisement is so drenched in corporate motive, desperate to get the biggest bang for their buck, that the creative directors behind it seem to have completely glossed over the white savior complex and the unflattering imagery that they have created. Pepsi thus became a prime example of the wrong way to go about putting some sort of conscience into your quest for profit, as it came across as both don't F and greedy. There have been similar campaigns that have been successful, such as one run by Coca-Cola during the Vietnam War. One of Coke's most iconic advertisements co-opted the peace drive that flared up against the war effort in its I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing advertisement. Airbnb has also had similar success in jumping on protests when it released an advertisement that spoke out against Donald Trump's barrage against immigrants. However, both companies skillfully found the balance between commercialism and social support, and crucially, neither professed to be a solution to these larger-than-life issues. More recently, Nike has jumped the train to herald a newer iteration of Black Lives Matter movement. Colin Kaepernick was an NFL quarterback who one fine day in 2016 decided enough was enough and started to sit as the national anthem played before his games. For 2 weeks, his actions went largely ignored until the media soon started to notice him and began asking questions. He said that he was taking a stand, or a knee more like it, against police brutality in the USA. Particularly that inflicted upon black people or other minorities. His stance on the issue and the actions he took in particular became a nationwide sensation in the US and soon spread to other countries. Donald Trump found a new enemy in his silent but powerful form of activism, finding many expletives to rally his own supporters and anyone even partial to his side against the athlete. Kaepernick soon became somewhat of a pariah for a moment, as he brought politics into the sport and was thus ostracized. That is, until Nike came along. Nike has always put on a brave face in terms of controversy, heralding underrepresented groups in its ads. This time, in a bid to add more consciousness to its brand of capitalism and ultimately sell more shoes, it backed Kaepernick in all his glorious controversy, putting him upon billboards and in featured ads with the slogan, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Just do it." Many in the company and out believed that Nike's bid would fail as it threatened to betray a portion of its audience and the football establishment. But Nike aimed to expand and strengthen its reach with the hip and the young, its core market instead. And it succeeded. Despite various boycotts of Nike products and even more bonfires of all of its merchandise that was owned by now disgruntled former fans, Nike's sales increased in the face of this campaign. This was the perfect blend of activism and capitalism. Nike had hit that sweet spot. Nike's founder, Phil Knight, later commented on the move and its success that it eventually got them, saying that he didn't mind upsetting many people as long as many people love it. Nike's key selling point in establishing market dominance isn't the shoes themselves, but rather the story and the image around its brand. Its take on activist capitalism thus worked because it sold a message of support and took risk in doing so. It didn't flower over the real issue like Pepsi, and that's why it worked. It isn't just large protest movements or racism that brands have looked to in order to draw some emotion into their money-making. The Pride movement is another common taker among brands. Lego recently made headlines when they decided to take out a collectible set in Pride colors with figurines colored in the various parts of the LGBTQ+ flag. This set is hardly the first. Brands have constantly stamped the Pride flag onto various merchandise of theirs, everything from IKEA tote bags to £45 Calvin Klein Pride shirts. Even McDonald's left behind their red and yellow containers for their fries in favor of a rainbow look during Pride Month. What's different about Pride merchandising, however, is that come June or February, brands will put rainbows in display. But like that Pepsi advert that gained so much criticism, They don't narrow down on any issues within the community. Pride merchandise definitely drives up sales, thus it may make some economic sense. In fact, not participating comes with a large question mark of its own. But many consumers have now been wondering, what is happening to all the funds that go into the purchase of these branded products? Are firms just co-opting this movement to drive sales in a hyper-capitalistic form of virtue signaling? Or do they actually meaningfully contribute to an issue faced by the LGBTQ+ community? All this discussion does is still beg the question, should companies prioritize more than just profit? Is it even possible for them to do so? Will customers ever trust any altruistic motive as long as the company still continues to work for profit elsewhere? This isn't an easy answer to these questions because, and this is something even a simple walk down the street will show you, there are smaller businesses that can find some form of capitalistic pursuit that ultimately wishes to serve more than just the owners or the shareholders. Milton Friedman argued in one of his most famous essays that leaders of corporations owe only profits to shareholders and that they shouldn't aim to prioritize any other aspect, whether that be environmental, social, or governance. Of course, many will outright disagree with Milton in this scenario, but even those that may surrender to his point of view that profits should reign supreme may concede that in the current business climate, it is impossible for a company to gain a significant market presence and thus beget profits without actively supporting some social cause or other, without actively proving to customers that they are doing good in this world. And this, we can discern that whether businesses truly wish for altruism or not, they must step up and take responsibility for the effect on the community, the people, and the environment. If companies can prove to people that they are a driving force for good, they may manage to make a buck or two out of it too.